Judges, the 14th chapter of Judges. Well, we started, I think, a week or two ago here on this man by the name of Samson. And the more I read the Bible and the more I study Samson, the more I've decided he's a character. And he's one of a kind. And yet, I learned so many principles in Samson's life. A lot of them are negative principles, and they really are. You begin to read his life. In fact, his life, well, 13th chapter is about his mother and father, Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, and her getting ready. Well, we don't know what her name is, so God didn't tell us her name. But anyway, that 13th chapter, all but two verses, is about them and the announcement that Samson's going to be born. And then the very last two verses tells us from the time he was born to the time he's grown up. And let me read that. Verse 24 says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew. And the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him in times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." And we find here those two verses really tell us from the day he was born on up till he's a grown man. Now, I don't know how old he was here, but he was growing. And anyway, it says the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Now, there's two or three other places here within the scriptures between chapter 14 through chapter 16. That tells us of the life of Samson, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord moving him. In fact, over in verse 6, chapter 14, verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid." And that's talking about that lion that he met, and he rent it. So each time it talks about the Spirit of the Lord coming on him. In fact, over in the 19th verse, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them." Each time it seems like when it talks about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, it's speaking about the strength that he has, the ability. He's strong. It's supernatural strength. It's not normal. And on over in I think it's chapter 15, you find he took a jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men. Now, I mean, you know, without God's help, you can't do that. But it's talking about, it's kind of dealing with the Spirit of the Lord and the strength that God has given him. As far as I know, he's probably the strongest man that ever lived. Very strong man, powerful man. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, able to do tremendous things. But let me just say this. If you read in those chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, you will find out that just about everything that is told us about Samson is revolved around three wicked women. The whole story of Samson is around these three women. And that's, of course, the woman of Timnath, which is in chapter 14, verse 1. "Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines." We find that was the first one. Then we look over in chapter 16, verse 1. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." That's number 2. And then in chapter 16, verse number 4, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Now, I think most of us, when you think of Samson, you probably think about Samson and Delilah. And there's quite a bit of scripture given us about the story of Samson and Delilah. But it's really amazing. His whole life story here basically is wound around these three worldly, carnal women And even his death is a result of his association with Delilah. So it's you know, there's a lot of principles that we can pull out of this, and I'm going to try to do a little bit of that to kind of help us here. This the way he lived, what he sought after, really limited his potential of what he could have done for God. Very definitely, and I think that's a principle that we can learn from. You know, the way, the things we want, the things we desire, the way we live could very easily limit what we can do for God. I mean, do we understand that? You know, that brings limitation, and it certainly did his. In fact, it caused him an early end to his life. Caused him to die early. And also, it caused his work that he could have done for God to end early. And again, I'm just saying, you know, we've got to be careful. We've just got to be careful because, you know, God chose Samson here for a specific reason. He had his life laid out for him, what he wanted to do with him. He was a Nazarite of God, one separated unto God. And he even tells us in the scripture that he born him into this world to begin the delivery of the Israelites from the Philistines. And I personally think that God would have wanted him to finish that. But he knew Samson and what he was going to do, and he never did get the work done. He just began the delivery. So again, I think each one of us can take that to heart. Maybe we're not don't have this same problem that Samson has, but we take it to heart. Are we going to be able to finish the work that God ordained us to do? Amen. And God has a purpose, doesn't he? For every single one of us. It may not be what Samson's was, but he has a purpose for us. Are we going to be able to finish that which God ordained for us to do? You see, he was known for his strength. I think everybody, you think of Samson and Delilah, but you always think about Samson and how strong he was. And he was. He was a just exceptionally strong man. But let me say this to you. His character was as weak as could be. He was strong physically, but his character was just as weak as could be. I remember years ago, I think most of you remember Bob Kelly. Years and years and years ago, I cannot remember a whole lot about the sermon, but he preached a sermon on what is a real man. And it was a great sermon. He preached a sermon about Stephen. And, of course, Stephen's the one who was stoned to death, you know, for his stand for the Lord. And he preached about there, and he talked about how, you know, it's not, you know, greatness and strong men are not, it's not determined by how much you can lift weights or how strong you are and what you can do physically. And he made a great point on the fact that that's not what a real man is. A real man is strong in character. Amen? You can be strong physically, and I know young people like to be strong and all of that, but that's not where it really matters. What really matters is where is your character? How strong is your character? That's the way real strength is determined in manhood. In other words, do you have control over your actions? Can you control your actions? Can you control your attitudes? Can you control your appetites? Can you control those things, you see? Because that's where it really, really, really matters, what kind of an individual you are. In fact, let's go over to the book of Proverbs, 16th chapter. Hold your place where you're at, 16th chapter. I just want to read you a verse. I'm taking you over there because I want you to see it. I want you to see what it says. I'm going to read verse number 31 chapter 16, verse 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, that has nothing absolutely to do with what the point I'm trying to make, but I like that verse of Scripture because a lot of times we'll say, and we should respect older people, but older people is not, you know, are not everything they should be just simply because they're old. It has to be found in righteousness. A hoary head is a gray head. I see some gray heads as I look around our group out here. Amen. In fact, I've noticed how gray Jerry's getting. His hair is just turning gray. Mine's turning darker. And it's amazing. But anyway, but a hoary head is found in righteousness. That's its glory if it's found in righteousness, you see. That's important. You know, we're not just because we're old, we're not everything we should be, but if we're found in righteousness, that's important. Now, verse 32, he says, he that is slow to anger, it is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God says, if you can rule your spirit, the better you are than a person who could, a great military leader who could take a city. That's important. See, that's where real strength is in our control of our character and ability to live right and do right and control our actions and our attitudes and our appetites and all of those kinds of things, you see. But Samson just could not do that. He just, shouldn't say he couldn't, I say he didn't. Samson did not do that. Now, I want to take a few minutes also, and we'll go back over here. I want to take a few minutes and talk to you. These were three women in Samson's life. All three of these women were ungodly, carnal women. And I want to take just a moment to say to you the importance of a woman in a man's life. I don't think can probably be explained to the depth that I would like to explain it. You've heard the saying. You've heard this, I'm sure. You know, the man is the head of the home, but the woman is the neck. And the neck turns the head. Now that is true. Every man here, if you'll just be honest with you, that's the way it is. God, to some degree, has designed it that way. It's the power of influence. It's like the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. have great power. The lobbyist does, because they have the power of influence. And the lady has the power of influence in a man's life. Now, you say, and I've heard women do this, not yous, but I've heard women do this, laugh and say, yeah, I can get my husband just do about anything I want. Well, you better be careful. Because the responsibility of a woman is great. Because if God give you the power of influence, you better be careful in which way you influence. You better mark it down. Because it is for sure there's going to be an accountable day. Now, I know Samson here, if we look at him, he was a rascal. Basically, he was. He was a sight. He was a mess. But what I'm trying to say, so we're not trying to uplift the men or anything. I'm just trying to say, it is good for a woman to understand what powers she has. Because she does have it. She has great influence in a husband's life. Whether you understand it completely or not, a husband, most husbands, I'm sure there's some that don't, I don't know. Most husbands want to please their wife. They want their wife to be happy. They want her to have a good life and to be pleased. And so in that respect, A woman has to be very careful what she asks for and what influence she has on her husband. I know them. I know women who are taking their husbands to bankruptcy because all they do is want. They never get done. And their husbands can't make enough money to satisfy them. I know that. That's a dangerous thing. That's a horrible thing. I would say to women, I understand the wants of people's lives. I understand that. I'm just saying, please learn to be content. Just learn to be content. Again, I'm not saying that you should not want this or that, but be careful, because a husband does want his wife to be pleased. Okay? And it's a balance there. And I'm just simply trying to say that, to realize that, you know, you may have that power of influence, but you also are saddled with the responsibility of how you use it. Okay? Because you can influence. There's no doubt about it. So I guess I'm just trying to say, none of these women did that for Samson. Didn't try to help him whatsoever. These were wicked, basically worldly women. And so he didn't have that kind of a woman in his life. He had all of those that was trying to do everything they could to cause him hurt and shame. But anyway, maybe if we would go over, you hold your place where you are, go over to the book of Proverbs just a moment. The chapter 31 of Proverbs. And I hope you understand that I know we men, we're not everything we ought to be. Do you understand that? I mean, sometimes women have to put up with some hard, difficult things because of we men. I do understand that. So I want you to understand, I understand that. But at the same time, God puts such a responsibility on the lady of the house. And I just want to read in Proverbs 31, verse 11 and 12, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." That basically what he's saying is that God, that a man, a husband, ought to be able to just absolutely trust in his wife. No thought that she ever would do anything wrong, and I'm talking about to hurt him, to harm him. That she would even handle the affairs of the house in such a way that he would not have to go out and talk about spoil and to make money in a wrong way, that she would be very frugal with what they had. I think that's important. I think it's very important that a woman be very careful how she runs the household. Very careful. And be very careful and be very frugal about things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, is there anything wrong in asking for that? No, they need to be careful. And so then he goes on and says in verse 12, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She's going to do good for her husband. Not evil, but she's going to do good. And so, again, I just wanted to read those. I know relationships. I know it's not always. I know. But you know what? We're Christian. We're God's people. We're different. We don't have a right to make excuses. Okay? Understand? You read this chapter in chapter 31, and there's multitudes of things about this precious woman that is given. I notice she In verse 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And she maketh herself a covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Anyway, what I'm saying, it gives a lot of things about the woman and how she can help. In fact, I don't know if any of you has heard that my wife's taken up a new business. She started a new business. Did any of you know that? Yeah, it's money laundering. She washed my billfold the other day. All the money came out into the, I mean, the bills came out into the washer. They're just as clean as you can just ever imagine. And so if any of you have some money you want to laundry, Donna's, just drop it by our house down there and she'll put it in the washer and wash it. Of course, I got to admit, I'm the one that left my billfold in my britches. So it really wasn't her fault, but I've tried to blame it on her. You know how, you know. But anyway, God in his word, just he does. He puts a lot of responsibility on a lady, whether you realize it or not, you understand it or not. He does. Amen. And then on the other hand, let me say thank God for godly women. Thank God for them. I don't know what we would do without them. But I just felt like I needed to say those things. And maybe it'll encourage you, help you, just to kind of, you know, be very careful, because responsibility, your influence that you have on your husband, on your family is great. Probably more than you realize. Amen. All right, let's go back now to the book of Judges. Let me see here. Samson, in chapter 14, verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And if you notice there, and then in chapter 16, let me read also verse number 1. And then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Those two verses, it says this: Samson saw. Samson saw. What Samson lived by was by sight and not by faith. You see, I've got to be very careful how we live, what we see. That's exactly what Samson did. It was what he looked at, it's what he saw, and that's how he lived. He didn't live. He lived with the lust of the eye instead of the law of the Lord. And that, again, men, we've got to be very careful of that. I know, you know, most of us in here is a little older, but let me just say something to you. You and I have got to be careful what these eyes look upon. Understand? You've got to be careful. And that's where Samson got in trouble, because he saw, he looked. He didn't go back to the scriptures and say, should I be interested in this woman of Timnath? Should I be interested in her? He didn't say, would God have me to be? No. It was what he saw with his eyes. And so, again, and I think it would be worthy if we'd go over to 1 John. First John, be there in a minute. Chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And he's warning us there about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. You know, couple weeks ago, I think it was, we talked about the word lust is a word that means to long after that which is forbidden. That's what it means. And so with the flesh, longing after that which is forbidden. With the eyes, longing after that which is forbidden. Samson paid no attention to that. He longed after things that were forbidden, and he got himself in trouble. Okay? Again, you say, well, that's Samson. Okay, but be warned. Be careful. Okay? Be careful what you look at. You know, I've thought about a lot of times, maybe blindness would not be as bad. It might save you a lot of troubles. Because God said there is a lust of the eyes. So we've got to be careful. Just a warning. Amen? That good for us to be warned? Sure. Sure. Now, over in 1 Peter, let me see here. Got a little bit of time. 1 Peter, we're over that way. Go to chapter 3. While we're there, I think the Lord would have me just mention this. In chapter 3 and verse, we'll start at verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. The reason I wanted to kind of go back to this was because we had talked about the ladies' influence. God says that if a woman has a man who's not saved, you're not going to win him just by looking like a glamour queen. And that's basically what he's saying. He's not saying that you should not look nice. He's not saying that at all. Because look, he said, whose adorning is not. In other words, that's not the thing you're adorned with. Is not that of an outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. He's not saying that you should not fix your hair. He's not saying you ought to wear something, because he says even the wearing of apparel. You're going to put on some clothing. What he is saying is that and you've seen women to just dress all up, and I mean they fancy their hair in such a tremendous way and put on gold and earrings and all and just overdo things, you're not going to win your husband with that. And here's why. He says in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You see, in verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, a man is going to look what you are inwardly. Your chaste conversation or your chaste behavior coupled with fear of God. And that's going to do more to win him than all the fancy. Now, ladies, don't go home and say, Pastor Ross don't want us to fix up or look nice. That's not true. You ought to look nice for your husband. You ought to fix up and look nice. That is absolutely important that you do that. But more important is what you are in here. You understand? More important is what you are in here. What does he see in as far as that Christian testimony? What does he see? Does he see that Christian testimony, that love of God, that fear of God? He's trying to tell the ladies that this is the way that you're going to probably do more influence in his life, is by your actions and what you are as an individual, as a person. Because let me just read on down for a moment. We don't have much time. For after this manner is the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And then it starts talking to the husbands and how they ought to dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And that there, real quickly, I don't have much time, but men, that is important, that we be very careful how we dwell with our wives and how we treat our wives. Very, very careful, because they are the weaker vessel. Now listen to me, from what standpoint I'm saying. They are weaker physically under normal circumstances. They're weaker than a man, but I don't think that's all he was talking about. He said they're in the weaker position. They're not in the weaker of, they are not in leadership. They have to be in subjection unto you. That's what he ordered. So you got to be careful in how you deal with them and how you treat them. Okay? So again, it's just a, and I wish I had more time, but it's just a good realization that husbands and wives, if they'll, if you've got someone who is not saved, it's important that you live godly in the presence of them. And that's not always an easy thing to do. But it's important that you do that. God said that's the way you're going to win them. Show forth your godliness, you see, that they may see it. But anyway, we've got to go on. But if you look at Samson, and I've got to stop, but you look at Samson, he's a very, very selfish person. Because let me just go back here real quick. I got a minute or two. In chapter 14, then Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her to for me to wife. And down in the end of verse number 3 he says, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He's only interested in one thing, Samson. He's a very selfish individual, and we could go on and on. But anyway, hopefully that's been a little bit of a help as we pray. Father, thank you today. You're good, you're kind, you're gracious to us. Thank you. Help us to be more like you. Please, Father, help us as men and women to be more like you'd want us to be. In Jesus' name.